Hey, everybody, this is Heidi St. John. Thanks for tuning in today to Off the Bench. Today is Friday, September the 3rd, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the headlines. I'm going to share with you some encouraging Off the Bench stories and answer a few of your questions. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So I'm glad you guys are here today. Lots going on. And you guys know, because I've been telling you, you know, my heart has been heavy. And I know a lot of you are feeling the same way. And I just want to encourage you that God is at work. And I have seen this happen over and over again. And today I wanted to take you to the Psalms. In Psalm 37, David writes, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. And don't worry, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." In Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18, it says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit." This is the Lord. And there's all so much discouragement, you know, going around in the church today. I think there's a lot of spiritual discouragement happening. I've seen it. Well, I see it everywhere. And I think we can handle it in the right way and a wrong way. There are a lot of people plunging into things that they think is going to fill the void and the frustration. And frankly, a lot of those things have been taken away. It used to be, you know, we get entertainment, sports, or travel, our careers. So many of those things have been taken from people right now. And tragically, we're seeing people turn to drugs and alcohol, adultery. And we've got to be, I've said this before, and I've been talking about this on my Facebook Lives that I've been doing for you guys lately, but we're seeing such a sharp rise in suicide, and people are being so discouraged from what's happening around them that they're taking their own lives. In the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 4, actually, we read, "Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and frightened them from building. So the work of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem stopped for about 16 years. According to Haggai, the people's focus shifted to building their own houses, and they neglected building God's house. And if the subject came up, they said, 'Hey, we tried, you know, it didn't work.' So we're in a bad situation right now. And how do we reverse the situation? Well, we reverse the situation by listening to who God is putting, what does He say in His word? And then looking to see who is God anointing to lead the people. We need to be praying for the people that God would raise up to lead at this time. Some people kind of come to my mind who God is using right now, but watch for God to raise up men and women who are anointed to lead in such a time as this. And then and pray for him. In the book of Ezra, the Lord raised up Haggai and Zechariah, and these guys spoke to the people in the name of God. And you can read that in Ezra chapter 5. And under their leadership, under the renewed leadership of Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the people began to rebuild in spite of the opposition that they were giving. And the work was finished, and it got done in a little over 4 years. And so to overcome discouragement, you guys, we need to be back in the Word, a fresh encounter with God's Word, get back to our work for Him. I was telling my husband the other day that I have felt, you know, so much, I'm trying to think of the word for it, but I think I told you guys, like, just the emails that I get, and I love people, and I've always been really focused on solutions and how can we help and how can I encourage. Well, every single day, it's discouraging emails. It's questions coming into mailbox Monday that are absolutely heartbreaking. And I told my husband, I'm having a hard time. I just finished a book. And I'm going to tell you guys the story about that later, but I just finished a book. It's 365 devotions for moms, you know, moms in particular. It could also be for women, but really the focus of the book is for anyone who's got influence in the life of a child, particularly mothers. And the Lord did something miraculous to help me finish that book, because I'm writing in the middle of all this, you know, and running for Congress and watching what God's doing in the Homeschool Resource Center. And then my heart is just breaking for the thousands and thousands of people who are suffering under this, under the terrible, wicked leadership that God has allowed to be instituted here in the United States and around the world. And I told my husband, you know, writing this book, it's like bowling, you know, and I stand there and I line up the ball and I'm looking down the lane and I know where I want it to go. And then I release the ball and it does okay for about 2 feet. And then it just kind of slowly, slowly goes into the gutter. And that's where I felt like my writing was going into this sort of, you know, the gutter for me being this place of just frustration and sorrow and sadness. And I didn't want the book to be like that. And so my assistant, Melissa, she and I have worked together for 10 years. I called her one night and I was just crying. I was like, I can't do it. I can't write like this. Like, my heart is just hurting. And I feel like I live a lot of my life right now just crying out to the Lord. And she goes, let's pray for a miracle. Anyway, the Lord gave me a miracle to help me finish that book. And I'm going to share it with you guys at another time. But I wanted to just say, you know, I think so much of it is just saying, Lord, we need to have a fresh encounter with you. And so Lord, give me your heart. Give me the heart that you gave to the prophets. And when we're discouraged, we call out to the Lord, Lord, you refresh me, because people are not going to do it. God will use people, absolutely. But we need to be listening for the Lord. And so I told Jay, you know, I said, maybe I'm going to set my alarm, you know, a little bit earlier and get up and walk. You know, I live out in the country, so go take a walk out on the road and clear my mind and my heart, and then come back and spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And you guys, it makes all the difference in the world. It really does. And the Bible says, you know, we're supposed to trust in him. And there really is only one cure for discouragement, because the discouragement is that lack of trust. Like, Lord, we're trusting you. Where are you? Like, this is why I love the Psalms so much. You know, this is why we love David so much. If we fully trusted the Lord, you guys, we wouldn't be discouraged, because we would remember instead that God is at work. And so we need to start looking to what is unseen. I have watched God, and I know you guys have too, come through in impossible situations. And we can trust him. We can trust in his love for us. We can trust in what he says he's going to do. But we need to be still before the Lord. So what we're just reading in Psalm 37, being still before the Lord. Stop trusting your situation. God is in control, not your situation. And be reminded that you were born for this. You guys were literally born for such a time as this. And I was born for it. You were born for it. We want to encourage each other in these incredible, I mean, they really are just unprecedented times, but to be encouraging each other. And, you know, it was Billy Graham who said that the Christian life is not a constant high. And it isn't. He said, I've had my moments of deep discouragement, and I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh, God, forgive me, or God, help me. And so don't give up, you guys. Hang in there. Normally, it's the last key on the ring that opens the door, right? Right? And so I want you guys to stay in there with me. I would love to hear from you. You guys can reach out to me directly, HeidiSt.John.com/mailbox Monday. I'm also reading the reviews that you leave for us over at iTunes and for the books I've written. Thank you so much for praying for me as we have finished the MomStrong devotional. I cannot wait for it to come out. You guys are going to love it. And especially because God's hand was so on it as we finished it. So God is at work, you guys. I'm looking for those little things, the little signs that God says, hey, I'm here. I didn't go anywhere. I hear you. I see you. And he absolutely does. And so I just want you guys to be encouraged about that. Wanted to let you know that we have just started a brand new scripture writing challenge at MomStrong International that kicks off always on the first day of the month and the first Monday of the month, which is the 6th. So coming right up, we're going to do another Bible study with Jennifer Strickland, the final month of Beautiful Lies. That starts on Monday. And you guys can join us at MomStrongInternational.com. All right, a couple of questions I want to get to. But first, I want to give a shout out to some people getting off the bench. If you guys are off the bench, send me your stories. I want to read them on the air. I want to know what's going on. How are you getting involved? And so you can share those with me. Just HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. And just say, this is an off the bench story. And I would love to read it on the air. Karen in Missouri said, Heidi, I've gotten off the bench in these last few months. I've attended for the very first time, both a city council meeting and a Board of Education special hearing because CRT was rearing its ugly head in both instances. I've written letters to our mayor, the chief of police, imploring them to stand against this agenda. And also in order to help the next generation learn and love this great country, I am starting a little kindergarten level civics class for my 5-year-old homeschooled granddaughter and one of her best friends who is also homeschooled. I love Karen. I love this. She said, I'm so excited for what God will do. I'm so excited, Karen, to hear about you getting off the bench and getting involved. That is what every American needs to do. Alicia in Oklahoma said, Heidi, I found you early on in the scamdemic, and you've been a great source of courage and inspiration. Thanks, Alicia. I wanted to let you know that my husband and I are off the bench. We have spent the last 30 years in healthcare, but our employers are mandating the vaccine, and we are refusing to play along. This is a very scary step of faith, as I have a college-age daughter and 6 boys adopted from the foster care system. We have a substantial income and it's difficult to willingly walk away from it. We started a pet boarding business, an idea that's been lurking for a year or so, and we're hoping that will soften the blow of losing our incomes. In addition, we are fighting these mandates with the help of my friend, Lisa Grevey. Yay! And pray for legislation intervention soon. Please pray for us and the many other healthcare workers facing the loss of more than a job. For many of us, it's a calling, and we are struggling with our situation. Thank you for being an encouragement. Listen, Alicia, I am praying for you guys every single day. This is happening all over the country. Every day I am talking to people who are losing their jobs, many of them who have been working in these positions for years and years and love what they do. It is a calling, I agree. And we need to keep remembering that this is an assault from the adversary and to look at it like that. And God says that he inhabits the praise of his people. So as we walk through this, we say, Lord, show us what's ahead. The grace of God is going to meet you when you need it. And I have told you guys this dozens of times. I've learned this in my own life. And so trust the Lord. You guys, he can be trusted. We need to be encouraging each other. If you guys know people who are losing their jobs, their livelihoods, whatever it is, start getting involved and see what you can do to bring encouragement to the people that are around you. That's what God's calling us to do right now. And I think that for such a time as this, God is having us do the work of the apostles in many cases, in that we are spreading the gospel and that we are encouraging each other to be like the church was in the book of Acts, all of these things. And so I just want to encourage you. Rachel in Colorado said, Heidi, I'm currently in our 3rd year of homeschooling. The first year was spent trying to teach 2 of my 3 kids. I've been feeling insecure about doing the right thing and went to my husband for support. And instead, I was met with what I took as concerns. Most were centered around socializing, conflict management, dealing with different personalities, etc. He didn't mean to, but it definitely made things worse. Can you address these valid concerns? Absolutely, Rachel. So I hope your husband is listening because I love that you guys are talking about these things. The socialization question to me is absolutely one of the most misunderstood things about homeschooling. I've homeschooled my kids for 23, 24 years now. And I'm telling you what, they've never not been socialized. It's a myth that we have to put our kids in a room with 30 other kids their same age for 7 hours a day so they can be bullied and picked on. And we can teach to the lowest common denominator in order for them to be socialized. Kids who are homeschooled are excelling in every area. And we teach our children to interact with people of all ages. And honestly, what's happening in our schools right now with the plexiglass schools and the mask mandates, did you guys see that school? I think it was in Minnesota that, you know, they're forcing the kids to wear a mask. Little kids wearing masks all day long. And in order for them to stay 6 feet apart, they teach them to walk down the halls with their hands raised in front of them. And they do the zombie walk. Tell me how that's not how that's helping our children. And it's not. So socialization, I mean, if people say, are you worried about socialization? My first answer for 20 years has always been, yes, I am. That's exactly why I pulled my child out of public school. When you talk about conflict management and dealing with different personalities, you guys, this was meant to be done in families. I have 7 children, all of whom have very unique personalities, and we have had lots of conflict in our home over the years. And I've told my kids, listen, if you can get along with the people that live in this house, you're going to be able to get along with anybody. We work things out. And that's what you do. And a lot of that is just parenting. And you guys, mom and dad, you're the ones who God said to teach and train your children in these things. And when I see parents who tell me, well, my kid is out of control, my kid is a nightmare, he doesn't listen to me, most of the time that can be remedied by parents actually getting in there and working hard with their kids to resolve these issues inside their own families. I've had a couple of children who have been very, very strong-willed. And guess what? I learn a lot from those kids. And you want to find out how completely wicked you are and how completely impatient you can be, homeschool your kids. You're going to find out real quick. You should find out in 10 minutes flat. And wow, I'm telling you what, I think this is a reason to homeschool and a reason to really invest in the lives of your kids. You guys, it will be the hardest, best thing that you ever do for your kids. Kathy from Indiana said, what are your words of advice for a pastor that feels he must be vaccinated so he continue ministering to people in the hospital? Although I love our people dearly, I'm not ready to be vaccinated so that I can continue making hospital calls. How do I communicate to some of our people who may not understand my position that I can minister in other ways, but will not be present at the hospital with them? All right. This goes back to what I was talking about Jennifer Strickland with on my show the other day. And the Bible says that we're supposed to test everything. And if you have a bad feeling about this thing, don't do it. This spiritual manipulation that pastors are really leveling against their people in their churches and also people against pastors. I mean, that's what we see here right now. You got to be vaccinated so that you can stay in the hospital. How about we start fighting these ridiculous mandates in the hospitals? How about we start saying, no, we're not going to do that? It was Rosa Parks who sat down and said, I'm done. And you could have said, well, you know, Rosa, there were other ways to do it. You know, you sure caused a lot of people, trouble for people on the bus that day. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at this, but there is a blindness in this country right now. A spirit of fear, which has settled over our country like a cold, wet blanket. We are supposed to test everything and hold it up to see what is good. What is the fruit that is coming out of this? If you guys look at the fruit that's coming out of these vaccinations, it is not good fruit. And so we need to get to the tree. We need to go to the root. And I would never manipulate somebody into getting a vaccine for a virus with a 99.9% survival rate. This is wrong. And so I think you communicate, I love you, but I have chosen not to do this until we can see more studies on it. How effective is it? Is natural immunity better? I think natural immunity is better. And there's so many things we need to be talking about right now. But don't let people manipulate you, and absolutely don't let them use Christianity to do it. I think that is a shameful thing. We're seeing it happen over and over again, and it just needs to stop. One more question. Allie from Ontario. I'm not sure how much this makes the news in the U.S., but here in Canada, we are headed into a snap federal election on September 20th. Our country needs prayer as we are currently suffering under the destructive and divisive policies of far-left Trudeau, and we need change. I'm hoping you can mention it on your podcast. Thanks from the Great White North. Wow. Okay. Canada, you guys are on my heart. I have spoken to the wonderful people of Canada many, many times over the years. And I just want to tell you, we love you and we are praying for you. And in fact, I'm going to end the podcast today by praying for our friends in Canada. Father, we lift up what is happening in the nation of Canada right now, Lord. And there are people there who love you. And there are people there that you love who haven't met you yet, Lord. And I pray right now in the strong name of Jesus, that your people would rise, that people would start doing things based on common sense, Lord, and that they would stop falling for these elected officials that are carrying out tyrannical dictates and hurting the people there, Lord. The people are suffering. And so, Father, we ask that you would turn your eyes of compassion to the people of Canada, Lord, and that they would get up and get off the bench and onto the battlefield. I pray for the election that's happening there, Lord. I come against any fraud, any attempts that are made to make it so that the voice of the people can't be heard. And Lord, I pray that Trudeau is ousted in the most spectacular fashion. Lord, they need help, and you are the helper. Holy Spirit, we need your help. And so I pray right now that people would start speaking out, that people in the United States would speak about this snap federal election coming up on the 20th of September, and that we would lift our voices in unison as one for the people of Canada. They might be able to come out from under this destructive and divisive policy that is coming from the far left in Canada, as it is in the United States. And we pray for the people right now, Lord. And I know that you love them. Give us wisdom. Help us to stand tall and stand fast in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Allie, we're going to keep praying for you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's all I have time for today, but I just wanted to encourage you. We are praying for you. You guys, I'm coming up against a pretty big fundraising deadline at my run for Congress. If you guys can get in there and start giving monthly, those of you who are listening, you can help me by giving monthly to the campaign to help me cover the costs that we are incurring. And it is expensive to run for Congress. And you guys, the stakes have never been higher. We need your help. HeidiSt.John for Congress.com. We love you guys so much. Thank you for your prayers and your support. We are encouraged by hearing your off the bench stories. And you can reach out to me, HeidiSt.John.com/mailbox Monday. Have a great day, everybody. And I will see you back here on Monday, Labor Day, at the intersection of faith and culture. For more encouragement, visit me online at momstronginternational.com.